Over here. Margot Carl is an attorney for the Lambda League Defense and Education Fund, and she's the counsel of record in National Gay Task Force versus Carlson. I present an attorney fighting in the legal system for our rights, Margot Carl.
I am here to speak about those of us who aren't here because they can't be here. Our brothers and sisters in jails and prisons throughout the country. The problems facing lesbians and gay men in prisons are especially difficult. Lesbians and gay men in prisons are all too often the victims of anti-gay violence. Violence which is encouraged by the attitudes, the prejudices, and the policies of anti-gay correctional administrators. When we are incarcerated, we face special problems. A loss of fundamental rights of self-expression, including contact with loved ones, which are rights that are taken for granted on the outside. The problems of lesbians and gay men in prison has been compounded by a federal policy. That federal policy excludes from U.S. prisons gay publications and feminist publications that the government censors think are gay. That policy is being challenged here in federal court in the District of Columbia. The National Gay Task Force, Off Our Backs, Gay Community News, Join Hands, and Calvin Keach are suing Norman Carlson, the director of the federal prison system, because he has the power to stop this outrageous policy. I've just come back from Dallas, working on that case with Nan Hunter of the DC Feminist Law Collective. And very soon I'll be going to Leavenworth, Kansas, and Marion, Illinois, and other places where federal prisons are located. My travels have affirmed for me the truth that we are indeed everywhere. As court reporters, as taxi drivers, in restaurants, in hotels, and as lawyers. Nan and I are working on this case as counsel for the Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund, a New York-based gay legal organization. Lambda is only one of many gay legal organizations that is fighting the legal struggle for gay rights. There are other organizations situated throughout the country. And I dare say that as I speak here, there are more in the process of being formed. But the legal system works slowly. But we are here to stay. We will continue to struggle in the courts and elsewhere until we win. Because we are so many, so unified, and so determined, we cannot be ignored. Thank you.
You've been terrific. Actually, our legal permit time is up, but we have pledged to each other. We only have 10 minutes to go, and we have pledged to each other that we have waited centuries to be able to come here and do that, so they ain't gonna throw us out because we have 10 damn minutes to go. So please bear with us. I'd like to introduce the following man whom I've known for several years. He's from Los Angeles. He originally came over to this country from Australia, and he married another man so that he could stay in this country. And the press said about them that a marriage between, now this is what they said, two faggots is not valid. Well, they have fought this in the courts, and it will be in the courts this month, and they are trying to deport him next month. He is a very brave gentleman. How about a warm welcome for, from Australia, the much married and hard fought Anthony Sullivan.
I want to share with you some questions that were asked our sisters coming in from Canada last month to a music festival. These questions were asked of them by the Immigration and Naturalization Service border officials. When was the last time you slept with a woman? When was the last time you slept with a man? Which do you enjoy more, sleeping with a man or woman? What do you do in bed? Border official, are you going to the Michigan Music Festival? Applicant, no, I'm just going camping. Border official, well, you can go back to Canada and get cured, and then you can come back to the U.S. on a visit. Do you have negative feelings about homosexuality? Why not? How can you tell me you're not a homosexual? You may not enter the United States. We are not convinced that you are not lesbians. In the Philippines, in Manila, is a woman who has been separated from her family, all of whom are here, some American citizens, because she told the interviewing officer in the Philippines she was a lesbian. She is not allowed. The Immigration Department are trying to separate my lover and myself because we committed the crime of saying to them, I'm in this country because I love this man. We did not want to continue of hypocrisy and lies. We have heard that the medical service is no longer going to discriminate against gay people as psychopathic personalities. It's no help. The Immigration Department has vowed to get us under the clause in the immigration law of being sexual deviants. The law classifies us in immigration as sexual deviants, psychopathic personalities, and mental defectives.
The case that Margot and I did together was National Gay Task Force and other plaintiffs against Carlson, who was the director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons. The case was resolved in 1980 with a settlement and a judgment entered in the federal court in Washington, D.C., in which the Federal Bureau of Prisons essentially agreed to our position rather than go to trial. We stipulated that a variety of gay and lesbian publications would be acceptable in the federal prisons, with certain exceptions for materials that were particularly sexually explicit along the same lines of heterosexual materials that were also excluded under other regulations of the federal prisons. And we built into the judgment a monitoring period after this stipulation took effect so that we could have some assurance that the wardens around the country in federal prisons were actually complying with the stipulation that we had negotiated with them. The main office in Washington. We found during that monitoring period that there was compliance. Since then, I think that probably the situation largely is that the judgment is being complied with. That's my impression. I haven't heard anything to indicate otherwise. I think that for the most part, gay and lesbian publications are now going into the federal prisons. There's a much bigger problem, I think, with the state prisons. I mean, every state has its own prison system, and some of them are considerably more repressive and fascist than others. I guess by definition they're all pretty bad. But I don't know that there have been any suits that have successfully established that same kind of principle for any of the state prison systems. And so far as I know, there hasn't been any litigation which is undertaken to establish a principle of letting in that kind of literature on a constitutional principle that has stood up and thus would be applied to all state prison systems. So in practice, I think where we stand is that with federal prisons, wherever they're located, but if they're federal prisons, prisoners do have rights under the procedures that we negotiated as part of this judgment and settlement, and that in state prisons, unfortunately, for the most situation, it's much more arbitrary, and there's much more possibility of excluding gay and lesbian publications. Immigration law, as I understand it, is in a situation of some unclarity and flux right now, because there have recently been two conflicting decisions by federal appeals courts which have held that on the one hand that medical certification of gay people as being as having a medical problem, which is the rubric under which gay people have been denied entrance to the United States in the past, that was necessary in order for entrance to be denied, and another appeals court held that it wasn't necessary, and that there were two appellate decisions which are directly contradictory in that sense, and one of them was appealed to the Supreme Court in the last term, and just within the last couple of months, the Supreme Court denied cert, which leaves us with this situation of having contradictory appellate court decisions. And so it's unclear what the policy of the INS is, and it's unclear what it will be in the future. It's also unclear exactly why the Supreme Court ducked the issue, because normally when there's a precise conflict between appeals courts, that's one of the most compelling reasons why the Supreme Court would agree to hear a case to resolve that kind of conflict. I think what we're concerned about is because the current administration is so conservative and repressive that to the extent that the improvement in immigration policy has depended on an interpretation that started during the Carter administration that was more liberal in terms of allowing gay people in, that policy could simply be changed. So there's, I think we're in a very, very kind of fragile position with regard to immigration law. It's my understanding that people are considering efforts in Congress to try and amend the statute, amend the law itself, and that would, if that were successfully amended, then we wouldn't be dependent on the policy of whichever administration happened to be in office. But with the unclarity in the court decisions and with the unsureness about what the current administration policy is going to be, then I think we don't really know exactly where we stand in terms of immigration.
What can you do? You're lobbying here on Monday. The issue is now very important and very hot, and it has to be done through Congress. I urge all of you to contact your congresspersons and also every government representative you deal with and have something done about this issue. It is a major issue now, and it is hot. Thank you.
The problems of being a parent who is also a gay man or a lesbian are manifold. In the courts of this nation, we have had our children ripped away from us. Right now, as the law stands in Texas, a gay man can adopt children, but a lesbian mother cannot keep what children she bears. And there's something wrong with that. First speaker on the subject is Reverend John Kuiper.
Thank you. About 10 months ago, when I finally found the courage to come out of my uncomfortable closet, I called my mother up in the Netherlands. If you detect the accent, I was born and raised in the Netherlands, but I'm proud to be a gay American now. I called my mother up and she responded to my coming out to her by simply saying, "Thank God my prayers have been answered. Now you can stop being a lousy heterosexual and become a good homosexual." I share that with you because I'm very lucky. I consider myself very lucky because of the way my family reacted, but also I knew that when I came out of the closet, I would be facing some very difficult times. 3 weeks after I publicly came out, I was served with a show cause order to show cause why the adoption proceedings of my 13-year-old, who couldn't come with me today, but you ought to meet the fella, a 13-year-old beautiful person, and the court wanted to reopen the adoption proceedings to see if he should be taken away from me solely based upon the fact that I came out as a gay, proud person. Both of us were subjected to humiliating and degrading psychological and psychiatric testing, but the end result was that we ended up with a family court judge in upstate New York who really had courage, because he not only said that I could keep him, but that the case would be closed, and he added a statement that became printed in the press throughout the country. The judge had the courage to say that my son indeed belonged with me, and that I can be a good father, and that my sexual preference has nothing to do with it. So my My message is this, that my day in court, and the nice thing was it was a present for our 10th anniversary because it happened exactly in the middle of Gay Pride Week. The message is that there in our struggle for human rights, there is no room for a defeatist attitude. As long as we keep hanging in there with our positive feelings about ourselves, we will definitely succeed. As gay parents, I think we have the opportunity to teach our children the full scope of love. And my son is really learning that. And to give you an example, ever so often I still slip up because I've only been out for about 10 months now. And one day I was driving down the road and I was singing, standing on the corner watching all the girls go by. And he said, hold it, Dad, that's my song. If you want to sing it, you're going to sing watching all the boys go by. So soon, in the not too distant future, I'm pretty sure that Troy Perry's dream will come true because we're always there, you know, almost, because today has proven it. Because we've seen today that we can laugh together, we can weep together, and we can stand together. And as long as we keep on doing that, then no matter what, we will win. I won, you can, all of us can together. Thank you.
Lesbian mothers, Sandy Schuster and Madeline Isaacson.
We've traveled quite a few years since 71 when Sandy and I won our superior court trial twice and then on to the Washington State Supreme Court where there was another victory for us and our children. If it weren't for the lack of funds with our ex-husbands, we'd be right here now in the U.S. Supreme Court. The battle is mine, saith the Lord, and God has been faithful to the word. Together, Sandy and I are raising six of the most beautiful, healthy, unbigoted children you've ever seen. Please excuse me, I'm a bragging mother. I wish they were here. The straight churches say that this is impossible, that two same-sex parents can't do such a thing. I only wish Brad, Terry, Kurt, Chris, John, and Ken were here to prove that it can happen. And we're not alone. There are thousands of single gays and gay couples, both male and female, who are doing an outstanding job of raising children. A few days ago, we were speaking in Ohio when a viewer called in and questioned why we make our sexuality public. I have nothing to hide nor to be ashamed of, and I feel it's high time for those of us who can to come out of our closets.
I'd just like to say that we have had to be quiet for 8 years. I mean, relatively so. We are actually pretty noisy, and we've been out for a long time, but we are now at a place where we feel that our responsibility is to go and deal with Anita Bryant, and we're just looking forward to it, because we want to tell her that families are for people, not just for heterosexuals in straight churches, and we know that we come from fundamental church, and our Bible says that God does not discriminate, and that's what we're going to go and tell her, and we can hardly wait. God bless you all.
Just remember, every homosexual was the product of at least one heterosexual act, right? I would like to introduce now a man who is a gay man, a feminist man, and a very gentle man. From San Francisco, Supervisor Harry Britt.
Thank you, Robin. I just want to say a very brief word for Harvey. This wonderful day brings to completion another chapter in the extraordinary life and work of Harvey Milk. He knew when he called for this event that he might not be here with us, but he knew that we had to come. He knew that we have for too long been aliens in our own country, and that it was time for us as a people to come to this place, to confront the symbols, to let Washington, D.C. see us as we are. And I believe if Harvey were here, the one word he would most want me to say on his behalf would be a very simple thank you to all of you. Not just thank you for coming, though that's important, but thank you for giving love a chance in all of your lives. thank you for finding in your loneliness, and we've all been lonely, the courage to reach out to one another and to find love there. Harvey would want to thank you for denying the lie that we are weak and for showing our strength together. And most of all, he would want to thank you for being the message that he would give if he were here today, for being America, for showing as America that the reality of the people of America is richer and more diverse than our myths will allow, for showing to America that the men of America are more capable of gentleness, are more tender in our affections than the false pictures of us, and for showing that the women of America are freer and more noble and more beautiful in their strength of their full humanness than all of the romanticized myths about the American woman. Harvey would want to thank you for delivering with your bodies the message that until America accepts us, America has not accepted her full humanness. That as long as people are turned away from our country because they are gay, the Statue of Liberty is shamed. And as long as gay workers for the government do not have discrimination protection, our country is shamed. We will continue to walk in the path that Harvey Milk cut for us, but today that path is deeper and richer and stronger, and we can go farther in it because you are here. For Harvey, we thank you. Good night.
All buses have been moved over here to the West Potomac Park. All buses have been moved to West Potomac Park. There is a van out front for physically challenged people that wish to go to the buses. Don't forget those of you who have volunteered to break down the area. And I'd like to introduce the last speaker of the day, who is Arthur McCombs of the Gay Atheist League.
Thank you. Friends, we wouldn't need to be here today at all if it weren't for religion. No force has committed more injustice and murder against gay people than religion. Every law made to oppress us comes directly and exclusively from the superstitious, hate, life-hating religionists who hate us because woman cherishes woman and man treasures man. Today, tax-exempt religions are trying to establish a church state and replace the Constitution with the Bible, a book which calls for our death in over 13 places. We must fight them not by groveling on our knees for acceptance from murderers and imaginary beings, but by righteously holding reason over mysticism, human liberty over theocracy, and human beings over ghosts. The Gay Atheist League of America was formed to promote the complete separation of church and state and freedom from religion. Join us for some real dignity and integrity. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you. Thanks to the organizers. Thanks to the public. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to the press. Thanks to the millions upon millions of gays that backed this national march in Washington. Thank you. Thank you so much.